Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talk today about how to simplify your life. I hope that I have some listeners who really do want to simplify their lives, and you're willing to listen to this old woman dish out some advice. Of course, you are not obligated to take any of it, but I certainly hope and pray earnestly that these principles, which are part of the principles of my own life, will help to simplify your own life. And today's talk is about a word that we bandy about rather loosely. The word is struggle. How often do we hear people say, well, you know, I'm really struggling with this? We had a girl who lived in our home while she was a seminary student, and she was a very intelligent woman. She's written some books now. She's done a lot of speaking. I hardly ever see the girl again. Once in a blue moon, we get together. But I can remember how many times we sat in the living room together, and she would talk to me about the things that she was struggling with. Sometimes it was her seminary courses that were difficult, but most of the time, it had something to do with emotions. She was, like most women, a woman of deep emotions. And she was forever struggling with things. And I began to think back then, what does this word mean exactly? And you know what? I sort of came to the conclusion that very often, maybe 9 times out of 11 or 12, maybe 9 times out of 10, it means delayed obedience. Am I ringing any bells out there? Any of you guilty of calling delayed obedience a struggle? I think it's very likely that we do that. In Hebrews 2, verse 18, we read, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. It also says in Hebrews 4 that Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Now, I want to make it perfectly clear that I am not saying that all struggle is sin, not by any manner of means. And I am not saying that struggle is necessarily delayed obedience. But I just want to drop that suggestion so that you can examine your own conscience and see whether the thing that you're calling a struggle is really just delayed obedience. It's that God is telling you to do something and you don't want to. And that reminds me of what Mrs. DeBose, the headmistress of the school in Florida that I went to, used to say to me. She used to say, Betty Howard, you can do anything you want to if you want to do it bad enough. And she said, the trouble with you, Betty Howard, is you don't want to. And well, she was right. There were a whole lot of things I didn't want to struggle over because I really didn't want to do them. And then there were things that she assigned to me that I had to do. They were matters of obedience. And believe me, I did struggle over some of those things. But I came to the conclusion quite soon that God was not willing to hear about my struggles when I knew perfectly well what I was supposed to do. Which reminds me of my friend Barb Tompkins, who is a very wise mother who has raised 3 brilliant children. I heard her say one time, when people say they can't, they usually mean they won't. Think about that. When people say they can't, they usually mean they won't. So if you're struggling about something that you think you can't do, but the truth is God wants you to do it, then you can do it. Because, as I said earlier in this series, it is always possible to do the will of God. So maybe the Spirit of God is saying to you, beware of delayed obedience. I told the story about my brother Tom, not putting the paper bags away because he wanted to go into the living room and sing Jesus Loves Me, where my father was playing the piano. But my father said that he must go back and put away the paper bags before he could sing Jesus Loves Me. The great lesson is, it's no good praising the Lord when you're being disobedient. What are you struggling about? Maybe you're struggling with obligations, which are distasteful. Struggling with submission to your husband, who perhaps is not a Christian. And you're saying, well, Elizabeth, do you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to comply with my husband? He's not even a Christian. Well, I can only give you what the Bible says. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. Which means it doesn't make any difference whether they're Christians or non-Christians. You are to submit to your husband as though he were Jesus Christ. He may be acting like Satan himself. But our challenge is to love him and to submit to him graciously, quietly, with a gentle spirit. Doesn't come naturally to me. I'm sure it doesn't come naturally to very many of you. Are you struggling with a difficult work partner? Or under a perhaps unreasonable boss? What is the struggle? Is he putting you down? Does he make you feel bad? Does he not commend you for the work that he's given you to do, which you have done so faithfully? Why do we need to be patted on the back so much? The best thing is to get down on our knees and just lift up our hearts to the Lord and ask him to tell us what he wants us to do. And then to go ahead and do it so that he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't struggle with things you know perfectly well that you must do. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. It says in Hebrews 3, verse 1. Postponing a duty which is clearly required. Am I talking to any students right now? Do you have a college paper that's due next weekend? Are you struggling with it, or are you writing it? Quit struggling and do the job. Janet Erskine Stewart said, "It is good that we should have to submit to what we do not understand, to do what we should rather not do, in circumstances not of our choice. It is good that every creature we lean upon should fail or disappoint us. It is good that we should meet with checks and failures in order that we undertake to keep us humble and prayerful. It is good that God has ordained that we should be sowing in tears. God seems to have laid out the order of things in his church, not for the brilliant triumph, but for the hidden sanctification of the individual souls which compose it." I think that's worth reading again. God seems to have laid out the order of things in his church, not for the brilliant triumph, but for the hidden sanctification of the individual souls which compose it. And it may be that the most sanctified person in your church is someone that nobody knows, but someone who is hidden to God. And God has worked things out in that church for the hidden sanctification of that individual. Accustom yourself to unreasonableness and injustice. Abide in peace in the presence of God, who sees all these evils more clearly than you do and permits them. Be content with doing with calmness the little that depends on yourself, and let all else be to you as though it were not. Struggling can be sheer, plain, old-fashioned disobedience, putting off what you know God wants you to do. But if your struggle is similar to Jesus' struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is indeed a legitimate struggle. But the outcome should be the same as what Jesus said to his Father, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." One more scripture quotation from Psalm 141:5. "Let a righteous man strike me, It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. Anyone listening who has been stricken by a righteous person, were you able to look at it as a kindness? Did you receive it as a blow that God had permitted? Maybe you didn't think of it in those terms, but there it is in the psalm. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. I don't like to be rebuked. And I've been rebuked a good many times. You know, to stick your neck out and be a broadcaster or a writer or a speaker is a bit scary. Because, for one thing, we're fallible. We do make mistakes. We say stupid things. We get things backwards. We tread on people's toes when it's not really necessary. And we put ourselves in a very vulnerable position. And there have been more times than one when I've had to go back to this verse in Psalm 141. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil on my head. And I hope that when I receive critical letters from my radio audience, and they're fairly few and far between, because it's pretty much of a nuisance to write a letter anyway, isn't it? But when I receive those, may God give me grace not to refuse it, but to see it as a kindness, oil on my head.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.